This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Courtney Donahoe on Bloomberg.
Will the iPhone 5 be a new sensation? Well, it has a new panorama mode for the camera. It offers about 8 hours of web browsing, 225 hours of standby power. Let's find out more from Tim Lesko, partner at Granite Investment Advisors. Also going to be joining us is Corey Johnson, Bloomberg West editor at large. Tim, first question to you. Is the iPhone 5 going to take the world by storm because of its features or because of its connectivity to fast mobile networks?
Well, I think the iPhone 5 is going to continue the strong history that iPhones have had. Certainly, it was very important for Apple to get 4G LTE into the device. That was clearly where they were trailing their competition and was perhaps the selling point that most Android phones were using in order to compete with the iPhone. So having that faster connection certainly will make the decision easier for customers, but Apple's developed such a strong ecosphere and operating system that I think this is just going to be a continuation of the dominance that they've had.
So many little upgrades in this iPhone, Tim, from the adapter being 80% smaller to high-def video recording and longer web browsing ability, etc. Does it all add up to much, though, or are these just minuscule, you know, advantages on a smaller scale?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that's gained the most attention has been the upgrade of the adapter. And if you look back to the adapter's history, it was originally an adapter designed for iPods, where it needed a whole bunch of different portions of that adapter to be able to connect to a computer. So much has moved to being connected wirelessly that allows them to move to a smaller adapter. Most people disliked the adapter, so I was surprised to see some of the media reports of complaints that by changing their adapter, people are going to have to get all sorts of new cables and devices. What this really does is bring the adapter really perhaps to a more modern feel and look and add more capabilities to the phone.
I want to bring in Corey Johnson, Bloomberg West editor-at-large, into the conversation. Corey Johnson, faster, bigger, more powerful, better battery life.
Sounds like me and testosterone. Right?
I threw you that softball, and well, I'm not going to say what you did with it. But is this the kind of thing that most people have previously complained or wished that Apple would improve?
Well, I think there were some very specific features that people were looking for from this phone, or more specifically, that the competitors had been offering. And among them is the size of the screen, the quality of the camera, both in terms of the quality of the images, as well as the stabilization of you know, shaky hands taking video or stills, and of course the speed of the network. And Apple has largely addressed many of those things. I think what they haven't done here is a complete change of the way their operating system works. What they're saying is either that they got it right the first time, or they couldn't come up with a better idea, which may be saying the same thing.
Tim, what does, you know, Apple do now? Because who's going to buy an iPod anymore? You can just do everything on this iPhone or maybe an iPad, but why would you even need an iPod?
Well, you know, certainly the iPod is a gaming device. It is a device for kids whom you're not going to want to pay a monthly subscription for. So it really does seem to be essentially an iPhone without the cellular contract. And I think it's important for them to keep iOS fresh among all the devices. I mentioned before that this is really about the operating system. And by having an iPad, an iPhone, and an iPod all running the same apps in the same resolution, giving developers the ability to develop applications among all three, I think continues to give Apple the lead over Android, where there's a lot more fragmentation among devices, sizes, and resolutions.
I just want to also add, I've seen people using an iPod as a wristwatch because it will obviously tell time and it has all of your photos and various music that you carry around. I've seen people using them as a wristwatches. What's a wristwatch? Yes, thanks very much, Corey Johnson. Corey, the reason I bring up this whole idea of the various battery life features, the screen, the light, is we focus a lot on new customers, people who don't have an iPhone who maybe will be tempted to buy one. What about people who have an iPhone, say, I love what I've got, oh, yeah, I'd like to buy the newest, latest thing. What's wrong with that? Is there going to be a trade-up market?
Well, I mean, you know, you're talking to them.
I know. That's why I haven't seen your closet, but I've heard about it. Tim, would you be buying more shares of Apple at $669?
Well, Pim, we really don't look at what the actual price is. We're more concerned about the valuation. And at 15.5 times reported earnings, we're very comfortable owning Apple here.
Explain a little bit about, for people that may not be familiar, this idea that it's selling for a multiple of 15. How can Apple sell for a 15 multiple with all that cash that the company has when you compare it to another technology company that makes a tablet reader, I mean the Kindle, Amazon.com?
Right, and that's one of the conundrums of the market right now, is you have Apple trading at 15.5 times earnings with, you know, with high double-digit margins on their products against an Amazon who trades, you know, north of 100 times earnings with margins around 1.5%. So it's one of those things where the market is always trying to price things on future expectation, and the market has a very high opinion of Amazon's ability in the future to make higher margins off of the business that they're currently building.
Speaking of the future, Corey, what stocks can we expect to move tomorrow separately from Apple but related to it?
Well, I mean, you know, who knows how the market's going to react to what might happen because of this phone. Some of the, you know, this is my Bloomberg West spiel, where we don't really focus on stocks. We focus on companies and let the market figure out what it's going to do. We focus on the dog, not the tail. But some of the parts of the tail that might be concerned. There are companies that are principally engaged in some areas that Apple announced today that they're going to be focusing on, such as restaurant reservations, recommendations. So that's a direct threat to OpenTable, a publicly traded company. That's a tangential threat to Yelp, which also is in a similar business. So those are two of the things we might look out for to, you know, maybe have an effect here. There was a very interesting to me was a lot of the iPhone integration. We got a big clue about that yesterday, when Mark Zuckerberg talked about how much focus iOS had been for this company, this operating system and the Apple devices. Well, we heard about that from Tim Cook and others today presenting about how many aspects, whether it was direct posting to Facebook from Siri or all sorts of other interactions with Facebook. This has been promised before from Apple, but it looks like this time they might actually do it.
Tim Lesko, tell me about Cisco. Should people be buying the shares of Cisco?
Well, all the stuff that we're talking about is essentially the move towards mobility and the consumption of media among devices, whether they be in our home or in our hand or on our laps. And Cisco essentially makes a lot of that infrastructure, and they make that infrastructure both for the internet business as well as the content business like cable operators. So the long-term macro view of a company like Cisco is very, very strong as we continue to consume more and more media on mobile devices.
I want to thank you very much, Tim Lesko, partner, Granite Investment Advisors, based in Concord, New Hampshire, helping to manage more than $500 million worth of assets. And our thanks also to Bloomberg West Editor-at-Large, Corey Johnson.
You can listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012, Bloomberg LP.